This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Clock hour here on Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey as well with you on your beautiful ears on a Friday morning. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Looks fantastic out there.
Looks beautiful for the first time in a long time, right?
Yeah, you had a good evening last night.
Yeah, but the day, you know, the whole thing like leading up to it was just kind of...
But last night, we were surprised by an announcement from one person that we all listen to all the time, Denny Matthews. The man, the myth, the legend is going to be getting married.
That's right, November 15th.
That's right.
Him and Amy are getting hitched, baby. We're so excited about that, too. It was so much fun to get that news yesterday, and Amy comes up to me, and she goes, "We're engaged." I'm like, "What? Oh, my God, are you kidding me?" She goes, "No, we just got engaged last week." I'm like, "That is the greatest thing ever." So November 15th, Denny Matthews is getting married. So congratulations to Denny, which leads Dusty and I to say, "We'll plan the bachelor party," to which they both said, "Okay."
Yeah.
After Dusty said, "Well, kidnap Denny and take him to Vegas, have him back by dinner." We kind of dissipated on that one and moved to, we're going to do an on-air celebration, basically, and celebrate Denny Matthews, because that's a guy who's been in everybody's living room in Kansas City. Literally, Denny Matthews has been in everybody's home and everybody's car in Kansas City. He just doesn't know it. But he's been in everybody's home and everybody's car. We all have listened to Denny Matthews forever here in town. Everybody knows who he is. Now he's getting married. What a better way to celebrate Denny Matthews, his career, his life, his marriage, and everything, by doing a Denny Matthews bachelor party here. And we're looking for ideas from you guys to help us help Denny celebrate finally walking down the aisle.
Yeah, 913-586-7965. We'll have him in studio. We'll give him a good little ovation to respect him and honor him for his engagement and get maybe some stories out of it, because he gave us a couple Harry Carey stories last night that were absolutely amazing. So at one point he was doing a broadcast in the fifth inning, was talking through a lamp.
Right, thought it was the microphone. Yep.
Said that he told that Steve Traxel was going to get a shot of cocaine.
Right. Cortisone.
I don't think it's cocaine,
no,
Denny.
Not shooting anybody up with coke in the middle of a game and putting them back out there on the mound, Denny.
Imagine telling
or
those people.
Harry, like, I mean, it was Harry Carey he was talking about. Harry Carey doing a stand-up on TV in a lamp thinking it's the microphone, and then Steve Stone just changing it out for the microphone and Harry not missing a beat may be the greatest story that I've ever heard.
Hello again, everybody. This is Harry Carey. You know, working a ball game really makes me hungry, and when I'm hungry, I can't help but think of the great Mexican foods made with La Preferida products. Just as a home run adds excitement to a baseball game, La Preferida sauces add excitement to your meal. If you want to hit a grand slam for your team, simply serve up a tasty dish made with La Preferida food. Holy cow, what a meal!
So, yeah, hopefully we get more stories on the bachelor party. Somebody said that they wanted to have the fans come out in the parking lot and celebrate.
Yeah,
and,
I think that's a great – I love that idea. Like, do a Denny Matthews celebration in the parking lot here at the radio station during the All-Star Week. That could be a lot of fun.
Somebody says Somebody says, Denny's finally settling down. Everyone needs to invite to the wedding. I've spent more time listening to him than my wife.
Yeah, no doubt.
Take the weekend off, buddy.
Take the month, baby. You get all of June.
Oh, you get two extra days for that one.
That's really good. Well played. That's outstanding. I listen to him more than my wife.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's so cool, man. Like, finally, yeah. Denny's settling down, right?
No doubt.
It's outstanding. We were so excited to get that news yesterday. Everybody was like, what? Denny's getting married? That's awesome. And Amy's such a sweetheart, too. So we're all really, really excited about that. We're excited to help him celebrate with a bachelor party, a celebration of Denny. So text in those ideas and let us know what we should do for Denny Matthews.
Our idea is to do it around the All-Star break because everybody will be off and we want to get some other Royals announcers in. We've got a few that are probably booked, but we don't want to say anything yet. But All-Star break, Denny Matthews, celebration of the engagement for the greatest to do it in baseball when it comes to announcing. Also the longest tenured announcer in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a stat for you, Mac. All right, let's get into some football conversations. Bob or Mac brought the question, who's the first coach fired this year in the NFL?
Well, it's probably going to be somebody I don't know right now because there's a lot of no-names coaching in the NFL, but I'm going to stick by Brian Daboll.
Okay.
I think he ends up being fired. Either that thing is going to work beautifully in New York or it's going to be a colossal dumpster fire again with Russell Wilson sitting there as the quarterback of that team. I've seen Russell Wilson over the last couple of years. He's not the savior right now that the Giants need. Does Jackson Dart buy them more time? I don't know if he does or not, but I'm going to stick with Brian Daboll. It's a tough first 4 weeks for the Giants, and if they don't play well, you're going to probably have to make a move.
First half of the season.
First 17 games for the Giants this year are very tough.
They go Commanders, Cowboys, wow. Chiefs, Chargers, Saints, Eagles, Broncos, Eagles.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's tough.
That's tough.
That's a tough run, man. Who else is really on the hot seat going into the year like Daboll is? Usually at this time, there was somebody that didn't get fired last year that should have. I think Daboll kind of falls into that category.
Mac has mine as his first name.
So Mike McDaniel's your first
name. Oh, that's a good one, guys. Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah. I think it's run its course.
Yeah,
I think the funny ha-ha stuff and the sarcastic attitude and I'm going to be an asshat and I'm going to do whatever I want at the media and make fun of things. Hey, buddy, like you're out of time.
Yeah.
This is year, what, four?
Yep.
All that stuff works when you win.
You can't beat a good team with a winning record. You haven't won a playoff game, or maybe you have. I don't think you have.
No.
You put all your chips in your basket with Tua, Tyreek, and Jalen. You've got Achane on your offense. Ramsey's still there.
No,
he's gone.
Not there.
Yeah, he's gone. That's right.
Every good player
they're
they
trying
have
to trade their tight end now, too.
Johnny Smith, the only Pro Bowler on the roster last year.
Yeah, that's amazing. Tyreek Hill wasn't a Pro Bowler? Huh. Interesting. I thought he was.
That's like horseradish.
He was a pro creator.
Big time. 13 times.
Yeah. So, I think Mike McDaniel is on the hot seat. I think Brian Daboll is on the hot seat. You mentioned Zach Taylor.
That's
if
a
they
good
fall
one too.
Into a hole early again.
I mean, yeah, if they start 1-3, they're going to cut him. They're going to have to fire him.
Do you know what their record is? Did you see this story 2 days ago from Ja'Marr Chase? They asked him about their slow starts to the season. I think they're 1-11 in their first 3 weeks of an NFL season and like 3-14 in their first month of the NFL season.
That ain't good.
So Ja'Marr Chase goes, I guess we're going to have to play more preseason games.
Oh, man, that's good. Maybe paid Ja'Marr Chase is a lot better than non-paid Ja'Marr Chase.
Their first four, Browns, Jags, Vikings, Broncos. Got to get 2 wins out of that.
And they always, for some reason, Burrow struggles against the Browns.
Yes, he does.
I don't know if it's a Burrow thing or if it's a Zach Taylor thing, but figure that out.
It's at Cleveland.
Well, I think the uniforms are very similar. They don't know who they're throwing to. Maybe there's some color blindness involved. I don't know.
Todd Bowles is like a hot take name that I wrote down there. I mean, I don't know if you remember last game against the Buccaneers last season. Everyone was throwing fits about Todd Bowles, having Chris Godwin, me out there included, just his decision-making at the end of games. I think fans are kind of this close. They know that he's done great and he's done well, but they're kind of waiting for him to mess up. If they start in a hole, if Baker doesn't look as good, if they kind of have a year of remission or whatever, yeah, I think Todd Bowles would be that.
See, I take the other side of that. I think he's coaching in a place where you have a bunch of senior citizens at John Knox Village that really aren't dialed in, and he's just good enough, you know, with Baker to kind of make it work down there because the alternative is who you going to get. Todd Bowles is a decent enough head coach.
I think he's solid.
You know, if you got somebody in the waiting and you're ready to go and you got your guy, okay. I mean, he's done a nice job in Tampa. Really has. Took over for a Super Bowl winning coach and a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and kind of got them back to respectability a little bit.
Do you think if the Panthers started sucking, they fire Dave Canales?
I think you get 3 years with your quarterback.
Is this year two for
this
them?
Will be year
right?
two.
I think he's okay
because the second half looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. After the benching, that's a coaching decision.
That was coaching, yes.
Yeah. And it paid off. So yeah. that bought him the full year.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
Who's the guy in Indy that thinks Daniel Jones is a good quarterback?
Yeah, Shane Steichen.
Mm-hmm. Steichen's out there.
Yeah.
98 days to the Chiefs, is that 98 right?
98 days.
We got 98 days and 14 weeks from today. Woo. On 14 Fridays.
So,
Dusty and I were talking about last night, like by the time we get on the air Monday, like 85 million things would have happened. But for Friday night, we get to watch the Chiefs have a couple
so
pops.
Nice.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So best 98s for the Chiefs.
Best 98s for the Chiefs. The only name I really recognize on this list, well, there's two. Mm-hmm. Eric Hicks, great player back in the day. Your longest tenured 98. Turk Wharton wore 98.
So those are the only two that I really recognize too, but I didn't know for sure.
I don't know who half, like,
okay,
you don't know who Nate Harris is? You don't know who Leonard Griffin is? You don't know who Roy Miller is?
Roy Miller was the one that jumped. Who the hell is Roy Miller?
I don't know.
2017 to 2017.
Yeah, exactly.
Kendall Reyes, 2016 to 2016. 98, just don't wear 98.
Yeah, not great.
Xavier Williams? How do you not know who Xavier Williams? Nick Williams?
Oh, hell, this guy played for a long time. He played from 09 to 17, this Better Roy Williams it. Did.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Roy Miller, yeah. Played 9 years in the NFL.
My grandma thought Eric Hicks was sexy.
He was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Confirmed.
Very good looking guy. Good call by your grandma. Yeah.
He plays angry, but he looks nice.
He
All
did.
Right, Nana, All let's right, let's sweet. Let's tone it back. Put that Winston back in those lips and chill.
Yeah.
Oh, I will.
He does play. He was, yeah. I like Eric a lot.
My grandma's favorite man was Ed Harris. She at one point, quote, and I will quote this, she said, I'd wrestle him.
Wrestle?
I said, damn,
Whoa.
Nana.
Oh, Anthony Toribio wore number 98. I remember him during the early years of, well, not the only years of Pioli and them.
Eric Hicks was like the best defensive player we had on that 2002 and 2003
team. Yeah, he was good. He was the one who snapped in Minnesota, yelled at Rhonda.
Oof.
That's when they were losing. They won 9 in a row, and then they lost a couple, and it was all unraveling because that defense couldn't stop anybody. Yes.
Really quick, can you guys just, I know we got to go, just these two texts from two numbers. Dolphins are the Royals?
No, because the Royals have won playoff games.
Yeah.
The Dolphins don't win playoff games, and they lose every time
they
play
a good
team.
The Dolphins haven't been a relevant franchise since 1972.
Yeah.
What? They were relevant when Marino threw for 5,050.
They haven't won anything. I mean, they've not won anything since 1972. And Marino's rookie year was 84.
Yeah.
I was going to say, honestly, fine. 1984.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Ray Finkel tried to take Snowflake away from the Dolphins. That was 94. But yeah, no, the Dolphins and the Royals are the same. I would say the Royals and the Steelers are the same. That's your comp for the good defense, starting pitching.
Yep.
But stay above 500 and then get to the playoffs. Maybe win one round and then the next round it's like, the Yankees.
It's a real contender now. Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Why are we talking more about Kendall Reyes being a number 98?
Never heard of him.
Neither did I. He played in 2016 here.
That's right. Coming up on the other side, we'll dive into Jesse Rogers' mind and see what he has to say about the AL Central Royals Tigers playing the series of the year starting tonight in the K with Seth Lugo taking the slab. We'll talk to Jesse Rogers on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5, The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan. Got a big series coming up this weekend. Detroit Tigers are in town, the big bad boys of baseball right now, the number one team in baseball. Coming to Kansas City this weekend, we now go to Jesse Rogers, who covers MLB and the White Sox and Cubs on ESPN.com. Jesse, what do you think about this series against the Royals and the Tigers this weekend for three?
Well, you better hope if you're a Royals fan that Scooble is a little spent after his complete game last time out, because he is really good. That's, of course, when you're going to face the Tigers, the first thing you look at is Scooble going to be pitching. So maybe he's shortened up a little bit, although he didn't throw that much in a complete game last time. So that's the first thing I think of. And the other thing I think of when I see Kansas City play is, can they hit a couple home runs to win a series, or is it all on their pitching staff? We know Detroit can pitch. Detroit can pitch, not just Skubal. So can Kansas City hit a few balls over the wall? Can they do a little bit of damage? I know it's harder there at home than on the road, but Kansas City has to find some power if they're going to do anything in the AL Central this year.
All right, let's talk about that from a global baseball perspective too, Jesse, because you covered obviously the game for a while. It just seems to me that baseball from an offensive standpoint is completely down everywhere in baseball this year, not just here in Kansas City.
Well, it is and it isn't. I'm based in Chicago. I'm seeing the Chicago Cubs and the best offense in baseball that do work. And, you know, if you watch the Yankees or Dodgers, there's plenty of offense. So it just depends on where you're looking. But, yes, overall, they're always trying to get more offense into the game. And there are spurts. There are moments where there is. I don't know what the league average is these days, but I feel like it's probably a little bit better than it's been. But that's still a depressed part of baseball overall. It does feel like, though, in some ways, going back to what I said about the Cubs, Dodgers, and Yankees, a lot of the great offensive players are kind of concentrated on some of the bigger market teams. I'm sure you guys have talked about that. So I think in certain markets, and certainly Kansas City is one of them, I mean, you have your one big star, Bobby Witt, right? There's a lot of these markets that have the one big star, but they don't have enough to go with it. So, I think the offense is kind of concentrated in the big markets because that's where you pay money. Where you can get around it is now that the rules have changed, speed doesn't cost, right? So Milwaukee, for example, perennially has a really fast team. They at least steal bases and, you know, steal some runs, so to speak, that way. So that's still one way to sort of build an offense that is still kind of on the cheap side. I know Kansas City is mid-pack and stolen bases, for example. It's not just pure steals. It's just the ability to get around the bags where you can steal a few runs that way. But, yeah, the offensive slug is kind of concentrated on the in the big markets.
Jesse, I want to bring this up because Saturday you will have that matchup. Tarik Skubal will go up against Michael Wacha, but it's more so, is Tarik Skubal versus Bobby Witt Jr. must-see TV?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know, like we're talking about with these other guys, but, you know, Witt's power hasn't been there as much. Again, not the easiest place at home to hit home runs, but Bobby Witt is a true superstar, one of the best in the game. I feel like if he had another superstar or two around him, it would certainly help. I don't feel that. I know that. You can see what Aaron Judge does to the Yankees in Chicago here, what Kyle Tucker has done to the Cubs. I mean, you need a little bit of help around you. I'm sure Bobby Witt is helping the guys around him. He needs a little help. He needs a little protection. But in general, when Bobby Witt's at the plate, I watch. I don't get up from my couch. So Skubal versus Witt is certainly must-watch TV. I love everything about Bobby Witt's game. I think he's only getting better. But I think he needs a little help around him. Batman needs a Robin, and I don't, you know, Bobby Witt can't do it all on his own.
Yeah, there's no question he needs some help. And so let's get in some trade possibilities then, Jesse Rogers of ESPN. Like, where can the Royals start to look? Are teams going to start to wave the white flag and admit they suck at this point of the year? Are we still a little bit away from that? Like, where do we stand on the trade, and who are some possible bats that the Royals could target in the trade situation?
Yeah, so I would say that there's three or four sellers right now, right? The White Sox, the Rockies, the Marlins, and the Orioles. I do think somebody is going to jump the market. We're not even at June yet. We're a day away. So I think it's still a little bit early. But I do think that it's going to be a seller's market, that there's not going to be as many players available. The third wild card is now taking effect. I think owners see that, you know, especially in the American League this year, 85 wins might get you in. And, It pays to hold on to your players and go on a run. I mean, Kansas City's could be right there. It's one run. You know, we saw what happened last year at the end of the year. A bunch of teams in the AL Central were able to get in. So I do think it's going to be a seller's market, and that means not a lot of great players available. Baltimore, yeah, I keep being asked, would they rip up the heart of their team? I don't think so. I think we're looking at pending free agents only in Baltimore. I mean, I don't think Gunnar Henderson's going anywhere. I don't think, Adley Rutschman is going anywhere. So you got to look at the pending free agents on teams like that. So there could be, there's a couple of hitters that would be available from Baltimore, but they're not like the main guys there. And obviously a lot of the Osorio hitters aren't hitting well. So you have to remember that the teams that are out of the race for a reason. So the pickings might be slim. I know I feel like I feel that way a lot on June 1st and then things change by the end of July. There's always a couple teams that are feeling like, okay, we're really not in it. But this is the one year I think that could be different, where it really is a seller's market. I mean, is there really anybody on the Marlins, that you're interested in that would be available? I'm not sure that there are. So long story short, I don't think there's going to be that many good hitters available. But the good news is most of the time teams are looking for pitching. The contenders are looking for pitching. There's not a lot of teams, contending teams, that have that many holes on offense like Kansas City might. And there's not that many contending teams that have as good a starting staff as Kansas City. So while everybody's zigging for starting pitching, you guys could zag and look for that one or two hitters that might be available. So that's kind of my bird's eye view here on May 30th.
Jesse Rogers of ESPN.com. Let me ask you this. I'll say one name and I'll let you have the floor. Jack Caglione.
Whew. I'll tell you one thing. Again, I'm based in Chicago. I was at the draft last year. I was not hoping, but I was thinking the White Sox should have taken him. Now, they were back-to-back picks, if I'm not mistaken, right? Mm. Caglione and Hagen Smith, I think they were back-to-back, because I was like, when the White Sox passed on him, I made a note of it. So I like this kid. I like him a lot. I understand, and I know my colleague Jeff Passan wrote about it recently, I understand waiting a little bit longer. I do. But if Cam Smith can make the Astros out of camp, I think Caglione can get up here in due time. There's a lot of time. Like, May is early for anybody. But by June, mid-June, July 1st, if he's still doing what he's doing, I think it's time. A solid 3 months in the minors, okay, fine. Maybe 2.5. I get why maybe not May 1st or May 15th or even May 30th. But, yes, I think you got to – for a team that is dead last in home runs, has only hit 8 at home all season – I think you got to let this guy off the leash and see what he can do. So absolutely, yes, I get waiting, but there's got to be a moment where, okay, it's time. He's ready. I know you don't want to do the up and down thing, but many guys come up. And look, after a month or two, he looks over matches, set him down once. I think you give him that shot. And if he fails, fine. One fail. You just don't want to go up and down, up and down, up and down, because that messes with the guy's head. But he hasn't had that first chance yet. So I think it should be coming. I have no inside information if it is.
When you look at a guy like Caglione and see what he's doing in the minor leagues, how do you anticipate that translating to the big league level? How do you foreshadow, I guess, or project when you watch a minor league prospect like that into the big leagues?
Well, I think the power absolutely does. Now, I haven't looked at his strikeout to walk ratio. That's a decent indication of what he's doing in the minors. If that is in order, then that's a really good sign to bring him up. And I'm actually punching up his numbers right now to look at what he has. What is he? 37 strikeouts, 19 walks. That's a decent ratio for a slugger. That tells me that he's kind of got the strike zone in order. Look, young guys are never going to have more walks than strikeouts unless that's all they do in their game. The guy's got power. Power hitters are going to whiff. I like that strikeout to walk ratio. I haven't certainly watched enough of him. And I'm just, that was the double A numbers. I know the triple A's shorter time span. I haven't watched enough of them to use my eyes and say, oh, he's ready. This will translate fine. But the power will. I've talked to enough scouts. Like I said, I was at the draft. I was doing my due diligence there. And I loved everything about him coming out. So he has not disappointed. It's just, again, 9 games at triple A. So I think it's going to happen. Just a little bit more time. I know everybody wants to fast forward this thing. You can't fast forward things. You got to trust the hierarchy that, look, they know they need power. Kansas, the Royals front office knows they need power. So you got to trust it. Now, if we get into late July and August and this team is struggling, he's bashing it down, mashing it down there, well, then you start to question why he's not up. But I would think he's going to be up in short order, meaning within a month.
Yeah. So last one here for you, Jesse, we appreciate you joining the show. Jesse Rogers, ESPN.com. Who's the biggest name that could get the biggest return out of the Royals pitching staff?
if they decide to move one of those guys, yeah. I mean, that would be an interesting move to trade from your strength and one that could get you. I mean, one of the young guys. I mean, obviously Cameron's off to a great start. Who else is? Who am I thinking
Bubic.
Of? Yeah, Bubic. That's the name. Because they're not gonna trade Lugo or Waka or whatever. Bubic or Cameron, if they really wanted to, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I was thinking trading from your starting staff, a major league for major league trade. You don't see that very often. You all of a sudden you do that, you trade Bubic, and then there's an injury on the staff, and you go from a strength to a weakness. I mean, I think if starting pitching is your strength, you don't turn away from it. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. I would. You know, if you want to unload the farm system, fine. But I guess Bubic. But I'm not positive, you know, which one necessarily gets you the most, because I don't think it's something that the Royals should do.
No doubt about it. Jesse, we appreciate the time. Thank you for doing what you do, and keep up the good work and enjoy the weekend.
You got it, guys. Be well. Take care.
You bet.
Thanks, Jesse. That's some interesting stuff at the end. That really opened my eyes a little bit. Like, that's an angle that I really wasn't considering, was the injury aspect of things.
Oh, yeah,
and he wouldn't trade, you know, one of the starters in the rotation, where I would say now's the time, because as he mentioned, it's going to be a seller's market, right? Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of guys out there that are going to be traded from a power hitting standpoint that you can get. So acquiring one of those guys, that's why they made that effort in the offseason. I know that the name keeps coming up and he's not playing well in Santander, but this wasn't something that the Royals went blindly into the season saying, we're going to be great offensively. Mm-hmm. They knew in December, January, when they were making offers to guys like that, like Santander, that they needed a bat in the lineup. And now it's good that they didn't sign him to that money, because he's playing terribly right now in Tampa. Obviously, it doesn't mean he'd be playing terribly here, but you know how it is. We look at the numbers and we see, thank God, we didn't sign that guy. But this, again, I keep stressing, like, the Royals knew that they needed a bat. They knew that they needed more power in that lineup. They knew they needed somebody to protect Bobby Witt. They weren't able to get the job done in the offseason, and that's okay. Sometimes you just can't make some things work. But it makes it harder now, after listening to Jesse, to potentially go out and get that coveted bat that you need in addition to Jack Caglione in this lineup. And I still, he's a baseball savant. I am not, but I also understand you got a very big weakness and a very big strength. Weakening your strength just a little bit to make that weakness stronger, I think it may be worth it from trading a starting pitcher. Where do you feel on that one?
I mean, I like what he says. You don't get away from your strengths.
I know, but and pitching does win in the postseason, but you have to make sure you get to the postseason.
Yeah, and I mean, again, the anomaly out there is Caglione, because if he does come up in 2 weeks and he does produce and he is that sort of force, I'm not saying he's going to come up here and hit 30 home runs and hit 295 and all that sort of stuff, but if he gives you that spark in your lineup where everybody kind of starts to relax a little bit more, because we all know that hitting is all about relaxing. That's what they tell you when you're a kid. You go up to the plate, hey, just relax. Just go up there and swing the bat, see the ball, hit the ball, right? That's what they tell you.
See ball, hit ball.
I know it gets more complicated the older you get, but if a guy comes up and he's 22, and there's a guy in the lineup who's 33, and he's going, how come this guy's so calm, cool, and collected? I'm going to take some of that riz, and I'm going to use it myself and try to make things even out. It's what, I forget who told us it, when Bobby Witt Jr. was hitting and doing all, it was Cutrero. He was saying, hey, when Bobby's going through that hitting streak, other people see this, it kind of picks up their game.
Yeah,
I'd be heartbroken if they did trade Bubic or a guy like Noah Cameron, but I would be heartbroken if they missed the playoffs.
Right.
So,
And that's what you have to look at. Like, is this team right now capable of making the playoffs? Yes. Would it be more capable of making the playoffs with a bat in the lineup? You bet it would be. And you do, like, the Royals really do have I hate to use the term surplus, because you never have a surplus of pitching, but they really have a nice stacked rotation where they can afford. Because once you get in the playoffs, then your rotation pretty much shrinks to three guys. And if you could go into the postseason, say you do trade Bubic, but you have Lugo, Waka, and Cole Reagans as your top three, like you did last year, and then your fourth guy could potentially be Noah Cameron in that rotation. I feel good about that. I do. I would take the hit right now on the rotation to make sure that I got the bat. You need the bat for the regular season. You need the rotation for the postseason.
Speaking of somebody that's going to be excited for the postseason next year, this happens. Max sent me a DM on Twitter. The Boston Celtics will be one of the biggest teams going after Giannis in the offseason.
It's crazy to me.
Would you love it?
Why is it crazy to you? They're a big market team. He's a big market star. It's all about cachet. It's all about stars. It's all about TV ratings.
They're going to want something from Boston.
Yeah, because I didn't think Jaylen Brown was up to trade, and that's what that would take.
Oh, you think it would? You, really?
Yeah, I mean, what else? Yeah,
I don't know. All the picks, like, we just trade every pick in the NBA. Pick in 2037 or something like that.
Thunder have four first-round picks. They're not going to be able to trade any of them. No one's going to be like, oh, four. Whereas the NFL, if you had four first-round picks, what could you get?
Why is that in the NBA? There's not enough good players?
Yeah, it's like, do you want four rookies on your team?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And on a 12-man roster.
On a 12-man roster. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't want...
That's why they trade picks in 2050.
Exactly. You're like, 2050? Yeah, we'll look at that.
Sweet.
Yeah. Exactly.
And 2050 gets you and go, man, I wish we didn't make that trade in 2025.
It is the weekend coming up, guys. We turn two things that we plan to do this weekend. Mac, what are you turning to this weekend?
Well, Hannah's got a big, big test today. So first off, good luck to her. She starts in an hour and a half. Very, very excited for her. I know she's nervous, but she studied hard. She's going to kill it. She's going to pass it. And then we're going to celebrate tonight. We'll have some dinner. We'll hang out. And we'll binge Game of Thrones this weekend.
Yes, very nice.
What season are you on?
We're on two. You know, I just swipe right on 500 Men.
Yeah. Season two.
That's season
two. So Ned's gone.
Yeah.
He's in Atlanta, the farm.
Ned's gone. Yeah, Ned's gone.
And Littlefinger's doing his magic.
Wow.
And dragons are coming.
They've been born.
Yes, it's happening.
She survived the burning tent.
And Hannah's loving it.
Khaleesi.
It's a little much. There's a lot of nudity, a lot of sex. So that sometimes it's just like, it's, which even for me, I'm just like, okay, it's a lot. But
wow.
It's great. Yeah, wow, for sure. But yeah, that's my weekend.
That's good.
You?
Good for her, man. Good
shout
luck.
Out to
Hannah.
Yes, she's going
to
kill
it.
She's
praise
gonna be great.
B, good luck.
Yes.
Knock that thing out, and then Mac will have
nervous,
some, Mac will have some surf sides on ice for you when you get home.
Yeah, absolutely. Have something for you ready to go. Smash. I'll tell you.
You know, I've swiped right on 500 Men.
Yep.
So clear.
Bobby, what do you got going on this weekend?
Not that. today, as soon as the show's over, headed to the lake, a little retreat going out on the boat with Ralph and Michelle and my wife, having ourselves a good old time. I think it's Lake Tonganasty. I'm not sure what lake. You mentioned the lake in Kansas. I think it's Lake Tonganasty. I don't
Can
know
I go there?
Is.
I'd like but to see Ralph. Some nasty out there, baby.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. So as soon as we get here, right to the lake, get on a boat all afternoon,
awesome.
And enjoying ourselves, go out to dinner. And then tomorrow is the big day. The big day is tomorrow because our friend Diane Houston is honored as a distinguished alum at Grandview High School.
Nice.
Where she teaches. They're
Sweet.
Honoring her tomorrow as the distinguished alum. So we're going to her alumni breakfast tomorrow morning and celebrate Diane for being a great teacher that she is, a great human being that she is.
That's awesome.
So Grandview, very lucky to have her as a teacher, which one of the kids last night at C10 is like, his teacher's Diane Houston, right? And he says, he goes, I go to Grandview. I go, you know Miss Houston? He goes, I know Miss Houston. I go, oh, do you? I can let me call her right now. He's like,
He's like, no, don't.
I'm like,
that.
Diane, do you know so and so? She's like, yeah. I go, why are you, you know, how's he doing in your class or whatever? You know, she's like, all right, you know who I'm talking to, right? So it kind of shocked the kid a little bit that I called the Steve, but she's an unbelievable teacher, an unbelievable human being, deserves every honor that she gets, and I'm excited to kind of celebrate her tomorrow. Then we're going to head to Martin City Brewery in Martin City afterwards and celebrate Diane even more. So we have ourselves a time on Saturday.
That's awesome.
The Caesar salad.
By 3 o'clock, we'll probably be in bed.
That's not a bad Saturday.
No, it's not. It's really good old man Saturday.
That's ideal.
You're waking up Sunday fresh
baby. Or Saturday night going, all right, what time? 11 o'clock on Saturday night. Let's kick it off.
Let's rally.
No doubt about it. That's tight. I love the lake. That's a great weekend.
Yeah, the lake.
Lake day, day drinking Saturday.
Friday at the lake in the early afternoon to mid-afternoon, some cheese and crackers, and you know who knows what else is going to happen out there. And then just you're back, you know, have some dinner. You're back at a reasonable time, and everybody's feeling good and ready to go for the entire weekend. And it's going to be sunny, so we get the opportunity to be outside too, which is very important, especially for that mental health, which I will take care of after the show as well.
Yep, got to do that. Got to take care of yourself.
Every day after the show, I take care of my mental health now. And it's really important for everybody. And when people say, what do you mean mental health? It's exercise. I don't exercise for the physical as much as I do for the mental health side of things. It helps you escape. It helps you calm down. It helps you relax. I will not sacrifice that for anything anymore in my life. It's too important.
Nice. I'm not going on a boat, nor do I have a fiance to pass a test, but Saturday at the Omaha Storm Chasers game, where Gold and I will be, your boy, throwing out the first pitch.
That's Let's awesome. Go. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So doing the opposite of Cags. I started off throwing out the first pitch at the K. Now I'm going down to Omaha to throw out the first pitch. So Caglione will be there. Alex had mentioned it yesterday. They asked both of us to do it. Alex said no. I've done
what?
Yeah, he said he's done it once. He was too embarrassed to do it again because of the last time. He goes, I was internet famous in all the wrong ways. You can imagine.
Oh, my God. Well, I've seen Alex run, and that's why we called him Forrest Gold for a while. And it was Cody and Gump.
That's right.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, they asked us on Alex had tweeted out and said that we were going to be out there, and they said that you guys are going to come down to the game. We're like, yeah, we'll be there Friday and Saturday. Said, any interest in throwing out the first pitch? I sent back the meme of the, I'm just loosening up my arm. So I'll throw it to their mascot.
Well, that'll be cool. Yes.
I asked if I could throw to Cags. They said, absolutely not. We've heard what you said about him. There's no way you're getting in within a 10-yard radius of Jack Caglione. So that'll be fun. And then I'm going to visit Omaha for the first time. So knocking, you know, two birds out with one stone. Yeah. I've never been to Omaha. We're missing the College World Series by that much.
It's close. You can drive back up for the day like I told you yesterday. And you should do that.
Maybe we will.
On a Friday after work, drive up, watch a game, come back.
So, yeah, Omaha will be fun. We're going to be out there tonight as soon as Gold shows over. He gets shotgun and we drive straight to Omaha. We go straight to Warner Park, watch the game, watch Cags do his thing. Guarantee he's gonna hit a home run. That other station went, he went 0-for-5. This station goes, he goes 4-for-4 with a home run.
That's the power of the FM.
That's really what it is. Smash. You know, our call reaches everywhere. So then I'm excited. No, I don't think you can bet on Omaha.
Nebraska's got gambling, I think.
Do they?
I think they do.
But you can bet on like minor league baseball.
No.
That's what I was saying. You can't bet on the Storm Chasers. That's what I was asking.
Yeah. I mean, I could do a deep dive look, but I don't think there is that opportunity. But I'm excited.
Maybe Iowa has the gambling.
Gotcha.
Illinois does for sure. But no, Jake Eisenberg was at that event last night, said that he's going to be on Cody and Gold today, going to give him all the pointers to go and where to go.
Perfect.
I've had some people reach out as well on Twitter and tell me where to go. So Saturday, got a lot of time to kill. Got to be good, though. Got to make sure I make a good first pitch. In front of the AAA crowd. So it should be fun in Omaha this weekend.
There's a bridge where you can walk across the river to Iowa. You should do that.
Oh, yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. Why not? Okay. What the hell?
Maybe that's where Gold and I'll go. Who knows?
And then all of a sudden, we don't know where Alex is.
Me and Gold like peas and carrots.
Alex is in Iowa. Dusty's in Nebraska. Because the casinos are in Iowa.
Bob won't know where he is at that point on Saturday.
What time is that going to be on Saturday?
3 o'clock.
No, I have no clue.
Yeah, dude.
Nope. No
Coming
idea.
Coming up, there was a tweet out there the other day. It was the best feelings of a man. It's a pretty good list, and we give you some more. And feel free to chime in. 913-586-7965. The best feelings of a man here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, yeah. Keep the recommendations coming, baby, on the text line. 913-586-7965. Gonna be in Omaha this weekend. Gotta leave right after the 2 o'clock show. So it should be good. Can't wait. I'm excited to go to Omaha. Somebody says there is a piece of Iowa. So like what you had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Lazy Buffalo Barbecue in Omaha is my cousin's spot. It's delicious.
What's Omaha? The Reuben was invented in Omaha. I know that. But other than that, like, what's the food option in Omaha? Because I was telling you we're going to Detroit next week for our baseball trip, right? We'll be up there watch the Tigers. I think it's the Tigers and Cubs, actually. And you're like, oh, you got to get the Detroit pizza, right? You got to take those off. You look like a fool. Come on. I can't look at you. You look like some guy from the 1950s with women's glasses on. Like, are those women's glasses?
Maybe. You better believe it. I don't know.
Women's frames. You look like Costanza.
Yeah, maybe.
Take them off. I mean, they look ridiculous. Don't they look ridiculous, Mac? I mean, they really
kinda
do.
Kind of nice, though, right? Check it out on the stream. Let me know how you feel.
You look like a lady's, like you're wearing ladies' glasses.
Dude looks like a lady. Yeah.
What a great song, by the way. That song fits perfect, too, for that.
I could do the. I feel like the warden in Shawshank.
A little bit.
Am I being too obtuse?
Yeah, you are. You are. Absolutely. For me, anyway. What a great movie.
It's fantastic. Max never seen it. I'm joking.
You haven't seen Shawshank?
No, it's one of my favorites.
Oh, okay.
From the 913. Good morning, guys. It's Bryson. Don't get to listen often because of school, but now it's summer. Going to be a wonderful day when you wake up to Dusty's beautiful, angelic voice on your radio alarm. Okay. Love you guys. Signed, Bryson.
Summer.
School's out for summer. I'm glad the kids still play that song. My buddy Johnny went out on his boat in Lackawanna, and they had their kids playing the blow-up guitars, and it was the School's Out for Summer, Alice
Cooper.
Oh,
that's awesome.
School's out for summer.
No doubt.
Omaha's renowned for its steaks and the Reuben sandwich.
I told you the Reuben, yeah.
So steaks, though.
Steaks, but I mean, steak you can get anywhere. I mean, I don't need to go to Omaha to get a piece of meat.
He looks like Squints from The Sandlot.
Yeah, that's a good comparison, too. Yeah.
They've got a spaghetti factory in Omaha?
It's the only one left, I think. Oh. No, it's not the spaghetti factory. It's the spaghetti warehouse. And I went there in 98. It's like an Omaha thing. You think it's the spaghetti factory. It's the spaghetti warehouse. The last time I was in Omaha was 98. I was dating a girl. She lived in Nebraska. It sucked. Not the restaurant, just the whole relationship. I forget what I was saying. But yes, they do have that. Like, everybody talks about the spaghetti. Because the only reason I know is because I looked it up a couple of weeks ago because Jen and I are going to stop in Omaha. We're going to North Dakota, her and I, one day because it's the only state in the lower 48. And so we're going to stop at Omaha on the way back.
They haven't been to yet?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to stop at Omaha on the way back. I was looking at restaurants and things. And that old spaghetti warehouse or whatever it is, or
It used to be the old spaghetti factory.
But it's warehouse. It's different than I think. And I think it's only in Omaha. Roadhouse. But everybody talks about that place like it is the mecca of restaurants in Omaha.
Somebody says Peyton Manning's from Omaha. And then from Andrew on Twitter, he says Block 16 in Omaha. This is not a passive suggestion. This is a must. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Jake Eisenberg, who will be on with Cody and Gold today, said that as well. We saw a tweet on the X sphere that said the top best five feelings as a man. Number one, razor on the back of the neck during a haircut. Good shout out feeling. Courtney Brothers. They do that all the time. Mike Courtney, you are a G when it comes to the razor. It's
that
a
is
great
a good
feeling.
Yes.
Oh, and it's that hot foam on the back of your neck. The physical touch of a woman.
No doubt.
I don't know what that is. Someone yelling, "He's a shooter," when playing pickup hoops. That was me, baby. That was the fat guy in the court
you
that had a
yelled that, or you
no,
yelled
I was
that
the
about
shooter.
You. Okay.
Because I just stood in the corner and waited for the ball. And then I'd hit it, and they'd be like, "Get that guy, he's a shooter." And then I was done.
Last guy I worked with did the same thing on the basketball floor. Stand around and wait. We don't want to run.
Number four, your team winning a title. Great feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, after the night, you're streaking naked. Mac did it. That's a fact. And then the first drink after a long day / week. Bob, you'll know what that's like on the boat
about
today.
About 11 o'clock, Damn right, yeah.
Is there anything he's missing is the question.
It's a great list.
Pretty solid.
It's a really, really, really good list. I think one of the good feelings is like when you're finished with all your household chores, yard work, and it's a Saturday afternoon in the summer and you just kind of sit down. Crack open a beer, drink, whatever it is.
So good.
That is a great feeling for guys.
Sun's still out.
So yeah, it's middle of the, it's about 2 or 3 o'clock. Yes. You know, you get a, that's why I get up early. Like a lot of times on the weekend, I'm done with everything by noon. I'm like, I got nothing else to do today. I finished everything.
Great
I got
feeling.
Up at 6 o'clock.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's go. I go, well, what else am I going to do now? Right? Tequila. Kids are driving themselves. I got nowhere to do. What the hell? Sit on the back porch, right? Enjoy yourself.
Get that nice tequila out and pour you a little sipper there.
Yep.
Like, smoky stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So I put a few on there. I think you guys did too. I told Mac this during a break. I said that 5-minute stare at your lawn after it's mowed.
It's true.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. After it's I mow my lawn every time, I got the Forrest Gump stance with my hands around my hips. Yes, I'm just like, I did that.
Yeah. See, now I can just admire Aspen's work. I'm like, you guys did great. Here, have a beer. Doubt. Way to go, Aspen.
Shower beer after that stare.
Shower the yard work.
Who was the one who told us they didn't like, that's right, Spectre.
Come on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He goes, I actually don't like that at all.
You know what I really like? I like a nice Chianti. And a nice restaurant with linen paper towels and cloths and 6 forks. And I know what every one of those forks is used for.
Another
Thanks,
one.
Thanks, Steven. Back to your office.
Yes. Yeah. Shower beer, it gets water in it and soap. You don't care.
The steam and
Who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Usually you're having a shower beer because A, you're getting ready to roll, or B, you just had a long work in the yard or whatever it is.
Oh, man. It's nice.
There ain't nothing better. The smell of early charcoal burning is great too. You awesome, like that fire underneath that starts to smoke, and you know that there's like 6 other people around your area going,
Someone's grilling.
Somebody's grilling. Men just come out of their houses.
Yes, exactly.
They hear the lawnmower, they smell a grill. Oh, where's that at?
You remember the old
Bill
cartoon?
Grilling?
You remember the old cartoons where the pie be on the windowsill and you see the guys float? That's the modern charcoal smell.
That's the dad in the suburbs when they smell certain things. Yeah.
Bob's cooking Johnsonville brats.
Yeah.
You got a few on there as well?
What else was there? Hearing your dad say that he's proud of you is a good one.
Yeah, I've said that to you a lot.
Yeah, well, you have said that. It feels good. Yeah, yeah, it feels good. Yeah. When man that you respect, a mentor, your father just says, hey, man, good job.
Who put the dog jumping into your lap out of nowhere?
That was me, too. Yeah.
It's a great one because Winnie, when I come home, she comes up and presses her face against mine the time. And you can't move.
No, like, with that dog.
Not moving. And she's there, and she wants that loving. And she's been really, I've talked about the mental health stuff earlier. We got her right as COVID started. I don't know that I survive COVID without that dog.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I survive every day without that dog. She knows when I need a little zen. I'll sit down. 100%. Anytime I start to raise my voice. What's that?
Said Ralph left you a little
Ralph, zen. Ralph did leave the zen. Yeah.
6 millis too, man. Take care.
But salute to Ralph.
Yeah.
But she knows how to calm me down. It's an unbelievable feeling, really, that she knows and senses, he's in a mood. Let me get there. Let me put my face again. And I'm done. It's a great feeling.
It's an amazing feeling. I totally empathize with that. I got Copper when I moved to Wyoming straight during COVID, middle of nowhere, and I got her. And huge. Best friend, dude.
Yeah.
Bob texted into the text line, peeling potatoes alone while drinking a Tank 7 for a big family meal before the in-laws get there and ruin the quiet.
That's awesome.
Oh, I know that feeling, right? I don't have in-laws.
Peel the potatoes, though, man. That's got good nutrients in it. Save the time.
Cold beer after a mow is phenomenal. You ain't lying.
Yeah.
Sticking the green on a par 3 is very nice. Hitting a great golf shot, very nice. I didn't mean to text this to the group.
I was like, did Dana text in?
Yeah. From the 620, the birth of a child. I don't know that feeling either.
Except the smell of the...
Okay.
No, because Jen had C-sections, and the first time I went there, I go, what in the hell is that smell? And the doctor's like, that's like the smell of the body here?
That's right.
Yeah. What is it? Oh, airport beer on the way to vacation.
Oh.
The airport beer is a great feeling. The best part about the airport beer, it doesn't matter what time it is.
Nope. No,
6 a.m.? Man, what the hell?
Oh, I have a flight in July. I'm going to the Gulf Shores for a week, so I won't be here. You guys knew that. But I'm going to be flying out at 8 a.m., getting there at 6:30. Better believe there will be a drink in my hand.
Hell,
remember when you showed to the airport?
Bars better be open at that time,
Matt showed to the airport, went to New Orleans. He goes, 3 already. I was like, don't tell Bob. No, that is great. Feelings of a man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Up on the other side, it is our Richard of the Week. 913-586-7965. Maybe you have one. Richard of the Week brought to you by Surfside Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. Proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories. And the best part is zero bubbles. Zero bubbles for zero troubles and zero glasses for the rest of the show. Just for Bob here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.